You're listening to It's Your Time to Shine Radio, brought to you by NourishYourselfForLife.com, where women use food and love to look and feel amazing. I'm your host, Heidi Simons, on the amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. Hi, everyone, and welcome. I am so glad you're here. So today we're going to talk about time. Who doesn't need more time? We all have such great, fun, amazing, great things that we want to do, that we fill our lists with during the day, that we want to expand on and develop and do and be for all of the people that we love. And sometimes we get caught up in not having enough time. Oftentimes, though, there are ways in which we can manage things better in terms of time. Did you know that every time you switch gears from doing one activity to the next, it takes your brain, we learned this from Bambi Thompson in an earlier show, 25 minutes to sort of recalibrate and readjust so that you can then focus on what it is that you're asking your brain to focus and process at that time. And believe me, I am the queen of multitasking, and I feel that I've got it pretty well down. But at times, I can do it pretty successfully. At other times, I don't. And so I've brought you one of my great, great IIN coaches. Again, I love my IIN. She's directly from my class, which makes it even more fun. And her name is Diana Savaloff, and she is a holistic business coach. After battling health issues, Diana has transformed her own life by embracing holistic lifestyle and leaving a 25-plus year corporate career in strategic marketing and communications. I encourage you to check out her website at dianasabloff.com. We'll get into that, but her before and after pictures, the work that she's done, amazing. She inspires me. She then combined holistic techniques with her business acumen and founded Holistic Business Coaching. And she's here today to talk with us about some time management strategies. Welcome to the show, Diana.
Thank you so much, Heidi, and it's an honor to be here. And wow, what an intro. Thank you.
I am so excited to have you on. So before we get into the nitty-gritty, let's start out with some nourishment. What do you have going on to nourish yourself today?
I actually did quite a bit this morning. I do start every morning out with hot lemon water. I just find that it really helps settle me down, and it, you know, it gets those digestive juices going, but it's also just warm and comforting. And for those viewers who are out west and enjoying sunshine and 70-degree weather, here on the East Coast, it's been pretty frigid, and I needed something warm, and I made a really nice autoimmune protocol-friendly breakfast that was sweet potatoes and green beans and some onions, and it just was perfect and hit the spot today.
I love that. I'm enjoying some green tea and lemon and apple cider vinegar. I'm having my second morning elixir for the day. I have a neck wrap wrapped around my neck because I'm prepping up my muscles for more snow and shoveling and all of that. And I have a little bit of citrus bliss for that bright, sunshiny feeling that I'm looking for from doTERRA essential oils that makes me just sort of feel all shiny inside. So I'm feeling pretty nourished, too. So let's get right into meeting Diana. So, Diana, tell us a little bit about your story and what led you to make this dramatic lifestyle shift in your life from the corporate world to the holistic health coaching.
Well, you know, as I think about it, you know, at the time it didn't feel so dramatic, but now that I look back, I have to agree, you know, it's been radical, and I'm so different than where I was just a few short years ago. So go back to 2010, and I was your typical type A workaholic. I was in a very high-stress job in New York City. I commuted an hour and a half minimum each way to get to work, and many days it was closer to 2 hours with traffic or train problems. And I was doing well. I was respected. I was getting promoted regularly. But with each promotion, I just felt increasingly stuck and stressed and depleted. And I turned to food an awful lot, and the weight just piled on. And it got to the point where not one but several doctors told me to get gastric bypass surgery. And I just knew it wasn't something that I wanted to do. But the breaking point for me really came after I had, you know, tried to get down on the floor to play with my kids. They were pretty young, around 2 and 4 at the time. And, you know, I was out of breath and my joints ached and all of that. And I went to a doctor and she diagnosed me with prediabetes, along with a whole list of other things like sleep apnea, psoriasis, depression, GI issues. It went on and on. And she sat me down and she said, look, you know, there is a way out and you got to follow what I tell you to do. And I was fortunate because she was an integrative physician. So she really taught me about food and how food is healing in medicine. And it was that day I gave up gluten, I gave up dairy, and I gave up beef. And I also, you know, worked on getting rid of all processed foods. And for someone who doesn't like to cook, which is me, it was a little bit challenging to do. But within 4 days, you know, my GI system felt better. And within 10 days, I had more energy. And so I started to add in exercise and see an energy healer and really embrace a holistic lifestyle. And then an opportunity presented itself where my job was changing and I could either stay with the company or take a very nice package after 17 years in pharmaceuticals. So I took that package and took a year off. And during that time is when I went to IIN where we met. I remember going to class and there was one lecture, and you might remember it, Heidi, where this woman, I think it was Victoria Moran, and she was talking about what is your free square? What is that one thing that comes easily to you? It's that one gift that you're born with that comes naturally. And I got to tell you, I had no idea. And it stuck with me like a thorn in my side for a couple of years because I'm really blessed. I mean, I'm smart, I'm compassionate, I like to write, and I have an ability to take a lot of different information and boil it down. But I had no idea how to take all of that and make it into a passion or make it into something that I could make any money in. So I went through the course, and I knew I loved coaching and I loved helping people, and I followed that, and I began health coaching. And I began attracting more and more health coaches as clients. And, you know, we would go over some of the health issues, but it was more their personal issues and their business issues that I was helping them with. And, you know, a lot of times they came to me, they just felt lost in their business. They didn't know how to get started. They felt like a mess. That was a word that just kept coming up and up and again. They didn't have time and they didn't know how to get organized. So they just really needed structure and focus and time management. But most of the way that they needed was just somebody to look and listen really closely and help draw out what was already inside of them and help them, you know, what I can do is read between those lines and then reflect back what I hear and help them get focused on what their goals are and then help chunk their time into manageable bite-sized pieces. And, you know, people wanted to pay me to do this. It was really cool. So I was like, aha, my free square. So it was after that realization that my holistic business coaching was born, where I took what I learned from coaching as a health coach and combined it with the skills that came naturally to me and that I honed in after 25 years in corporate, working in TV news and in business, and I'm now helping my clients.
Wow. Very, very inspiring. It's been fun to watch, too, I have to say.
Thank you. You know, and there's challenges as you go up and down, and, you know, for every person it's different, and every challenge is unique, and I really like that, to be able to help them discover what's going on, because usually it's something you don't realize that's stopping you, and you really have the answers inside of you, and it's just how to get there and find them.
And the work that you did to get yourself to feel better so that you could find your free square is kind of where you shine, or is where you shine. So to be able to get yourself nourished to the place where you could find that place and find your free square and shine is really cool.
Yeah, and it's really hard. I mean, in a lot of ways, weight was holding me back. But what was that, right? Because weight is really a protection. And what was it I was protecting myself from? You know, and that's still an ongoing journey. But being able to say, well, yeah, being able to have all my ducks in a row, which was an expression my dad had for me when I was a little kid, you know, and just being able to see things and just see the whole path immediately, I don't have to work at that. And realizing that is a skill that can be useful to a lot of people who don't have that, especially people who have great visions but need help with the details, you know, and embracing that as something and letting go of those fears that the weight was holding on to. And I do the same thing with clients. you know, when you start looking at, and you were talking about time earlier, and we all have so many things that we want to do, and how do we get them done? And sometimes it's a matter of trying to do too much because we thrive on chaos, because chaos keeps us from having to focus on one thing and deal with whatever that one problem is. Sometimes it's just like modern life is hectic and we don't feel we deserve to slow down, that we have to get everything done. It's different for different people. And, you know, I come up against those issues as I work with clients and, you know, try and help them focus on what they need to do.
How do you determine whether or not you are feeding off the chaos or there's just chaos? Where is that line?
That is very individual. It's a really great question. And, you know, it's one of those things that as I was trying to really figure out what is the thing I want to do with business coaching that I'm helping people with, that I'm kind of still calling health coaching, that's not really it. And I realized that I'm not the kind of coach that somebody is going to come to who wants, you know, here are your top 3 to 5 ways of doing things and you'll be successful. Like, I'm not that. I'm going to sit and I'm going to listen to you talk and I'm going to read between those lines and really hear it carefully. And so when I'm listening to somebody who comes to me, perhaps they're coming and they say, you know, I work with a lot of health coaches and people in the health and wellness field in general. So a lot of us are very smart and we're passionate and we always want to learn different things. And there's a common thread with a bunch of us of we don't know enough. And so we have to go out and buy stuff. And so I have a lot of clients who buy a lot of different packages. And I'll start with, well, what attracted you to that? What was it about buying, you know, these 10 programs that was interesting to you? And what resonated with you? And as they then give me answers, I'll begin to see whether or not it is a fear of not knowing enough, right? And then that's an issue, right? Because then they're getting diverted and they're adding, I would say, chaos to their life by buying many different things, thinking they're finding the answer. Or was there something in there that really was of interest to them that maybe they're afraid of going after? And that's a very different thing. And then it's like, okay, well, let's work on that and let's add that focus. And so often it's a combination of those things. Often there's an interest, but how primary is it to what is the core of what they want to do? And that's how I try and work. So there's not a simple answer of like, when are you in chaos or not? But I think if you find you're going after a lot of different things all at once, that's probably a little bit kind of more chaotic than wanting to learn something and just casting a broad net within a focused area.
So whether you are the CEO of your home, the CEO of your own personal business, or the CEO of a corporation, we all need to be able to figure out how to manage. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. Where are some of the pitfalls, or where are some of the things that you see in your clients and your work that you can get to the root of it really quickly and give them some strategies to sort of start looking for ways that they can improve and get the most out of that 24 hours?
Sure, absolutely. And I do this not only with the CEOs and business people, but also the CEOs of your house, all of us who are stay at home or who are building businesses while working at home, because that is a lot of juggling too. And I find it works also well with students. And one of the first techniques that I developed, and I'm almost a little frightened to call it a technique because it's so simple, is I literally take an Excel spreadsheet and I take 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And I ask people to sit down and plot out how they spend their time on an average week, knowing that it's going to be all over the place and saying you don't have to be, you know, super precise, but generally how do you spend your time? When do you get up? How much sleep do you have? When do you commute? Or when are you getting the kids ready? When are you doing work? When are you running errands? When are you taking time for self-care? And, of course, when you look at this for most people when we're starting, you know, most of their time is doing things for others. There's very little self-care. The amount of sleep we get is very little. We want to be getting a minimum of 7 hours. I think 8 or 9 is better. And most of the people I work with are in the 5 or 6 range, and some are even less than that. So you start to see how their day is, and then you listen to all of the things that they want to accomplish. And I think there's a realization that happens, like, oh my God, there really is a finite amount of time. How am I going to be able to do all of these things? And then I give them that sheet again, and I work with them and say, okay, now let's develop what in the ideal world you would love your life to look like. Let's, you know, create your life and design it. And so I made them start with putting in sleep, and then where are you putting in self-care and your workouts and your work, and we fit it in. And as you're doing that, this is where I start to see where chaos is coming up or where other issues of maybe not feeling worthy or whatever the issues are coming up, as they have to start making choices about how and where to spend their time, since there's only a discrete period of time you have to use. And then knowing that that's an ideal, and it's not like you're going to flip a switch and get from one to the other the next day, it's about how are we going to work towards getting towards that ideal, and knowing that ideal will never be 100% achieved, but we're going to move towards that so that 80, 90% of the time we can live this way and get in all the things that we want. And I think what that brings up is learning how to enforce your own boundaries, set them, identify them, and enforce them. So, you know, you may want to go out for that cup of coffee with a friend or do Facebook for an hour every day, but you also have to spend time creating your lesson plan, or you have to come up working on your marketing idea, or how are you going to interact with people on a TV show as you're doing your cooking show, Heidi, you know, whatever it is, and figuring out how you can have the time to do that. And then you make an empowered choice. You're like, I would love to spend time on Facebook, or, you know, hey, friend, I would love to meet you for coffee, but you know what, I really plan to do this today. Can I take a rain check? I got to get it done. And you take that from a place of empowerment that you deserve that, and that it's going towards a greater purpose, and then you can feel good in that. And the more and more you do that, the more and more you start to believe it, and then you also start a role of being able to get things done. Another thing that I find with clients is kind of that first inertia. Like, they'll, you know, there might be people listening out there, yeah, I know all this, Diana. And, you know, I actually know all the things I need to do. I have a to-do list 20 feet long, you know, and it's like, how do I get started? And I like to have people take that list, and it's another technique I use, and I have them prioritize it in terms of, what I have to get done in the next week, what I have to get done in the next 2 weeks, what can wait 30 days, what can wait 60 days. If anything can wait 90 days, it is not a priority. You know, it's on that list, and it's kind of like the not-to-do list, and when I have time, I'll get to it. And then I have them look at those, you know, at different times and say, okay, well, what's the one thing on that kind of resonates with you that you'd like to try and get one step of that done? And have them take one step towards one thing and get it done. And then often they feel good and they take another step and another step. And, you know, every client I've worked with, when they're doing this, they kind of blast through like 6, 7, 8, 9 things, and the momentum has started. And, you know, they just need someone to help them start and feel good and focus and know that there's a focus to doing it and it makes sense.
Wow, I love, there's so many little nuggets there. I'm not sure which one to even pick up. I love the piece where you talked about setting boundaries for yourself and keeping your own appointments that you set with yourself.
Yeah, that's a great way of summarizing it. And it makes me think of another thing that we learned in IIN, and I wish I had written down the speaker. They said the first step in getting control of your life is getting control of your calendar.
Yes, getting control of your calendar is definitely a great first step. What would you say to somebody who feels that they need to get better control of their calendar?
I think it would be the same thing as saying, you know, what feels out of control? Why are there so many things? You know, in corporate, people where I used to work would literally triple book themselves, you know, for different meetings. And I just kind of look at them and I'll be like, but you can't be in three places at one time. Like, why are you doing this? And like, well, this person needed that, and this person needed that, and I figured maybe I could cut one short and, you know, go a little early to this one, and this one may or may not happen. And it's kind of like, well, that's a boundary. Like, you have a finite amount of time, so either, like, set up three appointments and they're 15 minutes and you keep it to that and they're phone calls, or reschedule, because what happens then is that you're torn in three different ways, you're running in different directions, and nobody's happy, and you're stressed out. You know, so it all comes down to, I think, you know, prioritizing and getting comfortable with saying no in some cases, or saying yes, but here's the parameter. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. When we don't protect our boundaries and when we don't protect our calendar and our schedule, there's inflammation. And then that leads to more inflammation in terms of you don't have time to plan in, you don't incorporate your time to sit and breathe and eat, and you're eating on the run, and cortisol and weight gain and prediabetes and all of those things then just
get flared up.
Yes, I know that story. I did the corporate thing, and I was actually type 2 diabetic and taking insulin, double booking myself between an hour commute and all of that. So I hear that piece. What about multitasking? Multitasking is one of those things that we feel like we can be super productive and do a couple of things at once. And where are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think I'm a recovering multitasker. I don't know if I'll completely recover. And I love, you know, as you were talking in the intro about that it takes our mind 25 minutes to switch gears. I think it is possible to do certain things multitasking, but you're never really giving either one of those things 100% attention. So if you really want to be present and want to keep the stress levels down, I think it's really hard to do that. You know, like, you watch a movie and you're exercising. Well, maybe, but you're probably not going to get an intense workout and hear every word of the dialogue, but that might be okay, and that might be something that is good enough, right? And it's what's good enough for you and what feels good. Nothing has to always be 100%. But when you're there with your kids and you might be looking at your phone and, you know, trying to listen to how their day at school went, like, how are they feeling if they don't have all of mom or dad's attention? You know, so I think we have to use it more carefully and realize that our world has become so interconnected and so now, that unplugging and being focused on one task at a time, I think, is probably a better thing for us overall. And that's not to say never multitask. I'm going to multitask on things, you know, for sure, because there's stuff we want to get done. But I think we have to be more thoughtful in choosing what are the ones that are okay that don't need all of our attention at that time, and what do they make us feel inside. You know, if you start multitasking and are feeling stressed about it, chances are that means that there's one of those tasks you want to spend more attention on, and you feel like you're not giving it what it needs, and it's probably a time to stop and think, do I have a boundary issue here, and what should I do about it? How can I better prioritize my time to work on this so that I don't feel stressed and I'm giving it the attention it needs so that I actually will get more done in a shorter period of time because I'm focused?
Well, and you mentioned Facebook, and that is such a time suck. What do you have for recommendations on boundaries with Facebook? I've done different things where I've done Facebook detoxes, but as a online health coach, I have to be connected. It's hard to stay off Facebook. When I'm feeling like I'm really in balance with it, I only do it between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. so that I'll stay off of it. But what do you find that works for you and your clients?
You know, it's a whole gamut of things, and I'm smiling as you're talking. You know, one of the first things I did with one of my early clients is I just put her on a Facebook diet, you know, and she just laughed at me when I said those words. I had never heard it before, but that's like what came out of my mouth. I'm like, Facebook diet, like, no. Like, you're completely not going to use Facebook for one day, and you're going to limit it for this week to 1 hour a day. You can pick the hour that you want. You can split it up however you want, but in this case, you know, we look at Facebook and we feel like everybody's leading a better life than we are, and we get into that whole, you know, compare and despair mode. And my energy healer had taught me to compare is to despair. And then, you know, that makes you feel bad that you aren't doing as much as X, Y, and Z is. And, you know, then that impacts your productivity and your time, and, you know, your hormones go wacky because you're feeling badly. So, you know, you need to clear that up. For other clients, it may be, you know, like when you're a health coach and you are running Facebook groups and you need to respond to them, or you're looking to connect with people and clients or get good information, then it's about figuring out what are the best times to do it, or how can I get notified in a way that's not going to be interrupting me. So some people, I have them turn off their Facebook notifications or have them sent to a specific mail file folder, right? So anything that comes in from Facebook goes in here, and they can tag it, and then they can set the time that they're going to go back in and look at that, and then they're not missing anything, right, because we have this fear we're going to miss something, and be able to answer it. So I think, again, it's like what technique would work best for you, and also figuring out the times and the days that work best for you. Some people, you know, late at night, being able to do that before bed, and I know that's awful, the blue screen, but some people find that calming, right? Because, and it's reassuring. For other people, it's too activating, and it's better to get up first thing in the morning and do that, or, you know, this might be a multitask that I'm going to take 15 minutes of lunch to eat and be very mindful about that, and I'm going to take 15 minutes to see what I need to address on Facebook and prioritize it so later I can do that.
All right. I like that. Those are some really good tips, and you're right, the whole compare and despair piece is huge. We could do a whole show on that topic, and you're so right. It just adds another something else to do. Oh, so-and-so is doing that. Well, I want to go blueberry picking, or, you know, whatever it is, we see all these great ideas, and it's not even so much that it puts all of this sensory processing that to the max in terms of what we're taking in when we're scrolling through Facebook and all of the different videos and things that people are doing and the inspirational stuff. And it can be just, in terms of too much. And how do you just shut it off? And so finding, in terms of bio-individuality, in terms of what works specifically for you and your needs, is ultimately the answer to, you know, stop, take a deep breath, get off Facebook for 5 minutes, and then figure out what is going to be the best solution to help you get the most done and the most out of the 24 hours that are so precious in this day, and be there for your family and be there for yourself and be there for your food and be there for your nutrition and be there for your wealth and be there for all of those things that life demands of us more presently and more mindfully in each individual moment, to then make that time matter and get the most bang for your buck in every minute.
Incredibly well said, Heidi. I mean, I agree 1,000%. And I think, you know, as you were talking, you know, the last thing I want to leave with the impression with everyone is that, you know, I have it all figured out. I am, you know, on my journey, and I've been working really hard on finding balance in my life and changing priorities and redefining what does success mean for myself and trying to find peace and happiness and, you know, understanding how that is what fills me up and makes me shine and makes me feel good. And, you know, in our culture, you know, we're taught to excel and to do well in school and get a good job and, you know, get a good pay so that we can provide. And that is very important. You know, there's no question around it. But at what cost? And, you know, what is it that makes you happy? So finding what makes you happy and being able to do that, whether it's the job that does that and can provide for you, or it's some other passion that you do and you work your job to make money, to live and be able to fulfill all of the things that you need. But in doing that, it's not about pleasing everyone else and living up to certain expectations. It's about uncovering what feels really good for me. And as I'm able to do that more and focus more on doing that, I'm able to give more and have more time and more energy to do so much more.
With less inflammation.
With less inflammation all around the body and in the mind and in the spirit. And it's a lesson I'm trying to teach my kids. You know, I have one who just wants to be in college, and he's 12 years old, and he's smart enough he probably could be, but there's so much more to life about experiencing different pieces of life, and, you know, as adults, we kind of get that, but as a kid, you don't, so it's about finding that balance about what makes you happy and being able to feed and fuel that and play on your free square, if you will, and find the time for that. Because when you find the time for things that make you feel good and you're able to help others, that's what gives us happiness and peace. And ultimately, that's what was missing from my life when I was in corporate. I just didn't know what peace was. And that's what I wanted to find more than anything. And I think having to be present and be mindful and be quiet and find my own voice, which I'm still finding, and go with that while still caring immensely about the people around me, has been such a journey. And I think that is what is helping me shed the weight, and not just in terms of the pounds, but all that mental and emotional and psychological energy that's been holding me down. And it's a journey, and it's exciting, and I think it's also what helped me relate really well to my clients who come feeling stuck, because while I haven't walked their shoes, I've walked in shoes of similar sizes and shapes, and can help and connect and relate to them and really understand and help them move forward in a way that feels good and feels safe and feels sane and manageable and natural and not judgmental.
I love that. Make time for your free square. And for the listeners who don't know the free square analogy, it's such a great little piece. Your free square is the on a bingo card. When you get in the middle, everybody gets a free square where you automatically get to put your little red circle and say, yay, okay, I've already got one in there. That is what you're innately, naturally good at. That is where you are in connection with flow and is connection with source in a way that allows you to be your optimal version of yourself. And so to find time to figure out, to be able to figure out how to make more time to be in your place of your free square is where is ultimately the goal here. And Diana can help you figure out not only what your free square is, but how to find time to be able to spend more time on your free square. Check her out, DianaSabloff.com, DianaSabloff.com. Again, Diana Sabloff at her website. Great pictures. She also has a special freebie for anybody who contacts her through the website and references this show. She's going to send you a really great, fun little exercise that she's put together for you guys. So check her out. Diana, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Heidi, and just for your listeners, that exercise is about doing forgiveness, and it's one of the things that has helped me immensely, and it helps you when you're coming up against those beliefs or those boundaries that you're having trouble reframing. If you do this exercise, it can help you release some of those judgments and even some of the pain that's held in your body, and feel better. And this has been a blast, Heidi, and thank you so much.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. It's not just your time. It's your time to shine. Thanks, everybody. See you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in to It's Your Time to Shine Radio on the Amazing Women of Power Positive Programming Network, brought to you by Raven International at www.awoptalk247.com. That's www.awoptalk247.com. Don't forget to visit nourishyourselfforlife.com for freebies, downloads, and recipes, and to continue the conversation on facebook.com/nourishyourselfforlife. Remember, it's not just your time, it's your time to shine. Join me next Wednesday during your lunch hour or while you're preparing a healthy dinner for your family at noon and 6 p.m. Eastern on the Amazing Women of Power Network, when it's your time to shine.